Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday.
Fall Thursday, everybody.
Wait, what did you say? You cut out for a second. What did you
say? Happy Fall Thursday. It's a beautiful fall Thursday. Yeah, it's a gorgeous autumn. Oh, hello.
Sorry. All right. Yes, I'm still getting over this cold. And a couple of listeners reached out to and said they hope that we're both feeling better. Just be aware, Kevin and I did not give each other the cold. I don't know how this happened.
No, I somehow, after I got off doing our little Skype podcast last week, somehow contracted a little touch of pneumonia. Maybe it was from Rob. I don't know.
I coughed via Skype. You got a Skype cold.
Exactly. It came right into my lungs and then filled up. But we're both feeling much better. And thank you, listeners, for your kind words.
Did I give you a computer virus?
Stupid. I'm the dad here. I have the dad humor.
That's a dad joke. You can take that one to your young child. Kevin's child got to come on screen and he waved to me. Crawford waved to me. It was very exciting. Yeah.
Son brought Crawford in and he said hello. Speaking of, I was putting on a onesie on Crawford the other day and this onesie had this like tiny little pocket. And I said to him, I said, Crawford, what are you going to put in that pocket? Are you going to put a little penny in that pocket? I thought of you, Rob. Thought of you.
Oh my God. I should tell you it's my child. This is the drama on the podcast. Now the podcast is a soap opera.
Who's the baby's daddy? Is it Rob or is it Kevin?
If the kid knows all the words to Penny in my pocket.
It's Rob.
I'll just walk away.
But no. if he knows all the words to Michael John LeCuse's Wild Party, then
it's definitely your child. It's definitely your child.
Although I can't talk about LaCusa because I'm doing songs from the Lipa Wild Party on Monday for my concert, and I'm not. I'm a Lipa man now. I'm a Lipa man for the next couple of days.
As long as that check doesn't bounce, you're a Lipa man for the next couple of days.
That's right.
As soon as that concert's over.
That's right.
I like Andrew Lipa. No, I like Andrew Lipa. It's just yes.
I agree. I mean, same. So his songs are fantastic. We're doing 16 of his songs for this concert, and they are all different, all varied, all lots of fun, and very exciting. He knows how to write a good up tempo. And I think My New Philosophy. I know it was one of his breakout songs. It's a great number. It's a really fun.
My New Philosophy is great. Song. I love Pulled from the Addams Family.
You know who's going to be singing that? Bonnie Mulligan's going to. Be
Oh, is
singing
she
that.
Really? She's going to sound great.
Why not? That's awesome.
I also really like the score to Big Fish. I love Big Fish.
Yes, it's gorgeous. The fellow singing Stranger, Connor Ryan, and it's a beautiful song. It's some really lush, almost movie music quality to it when you listen to Big Fish versus the jazziness of Wild Party versus sort of like the chamber music of John and Jen. Anyway, I interrupted you. I apologize.
Oh, I also no, you didn't interrupt. Also, Little Princess. What's the one Live Out Loud? Is someone singing
Live
that?
Out Loud? Yeah. Oh, yes. Who is singing that? I'm drawing a
me. Book. Don't worry, I'll come in.
Want to sing it? Yeah,
Live Out Loud.
That's a good audition song, too.
Very quickly, a little bit of a tangent, and then we'll move on. I figured out my Halloween costume.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm going to go as Robert Goulet. It's going to be Robert Goulet. So Robert Goulet is going to be a ghost.
Goulet?
G-H-O-U-L. To come and haunt the kitties.
That a lot.
Trick or treat.
You're going to sing him.
You got candy? I hope it's sugar free as I am diabetic. For my Spanish speaking friends, yo soy diabetico. Some of my favorite candy bars include Penny Candy, Symphony Bars. Love a good Symphony Bar because, you know, music.
Obviously.
And Kit Kat because I was up for the song. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Reese's Pieces.
No, I can't read the teleprompter.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
That's why.
Can't we just do Baby Ruth? Speaking of Baby Ruth, I once had an affair with soap star Ruth Warwick. That's a name for the kiddies.
Yeah, they know that one. That's really...
Ruth Warwick jokes go over really well with the young crowd. Throwing a Paul Muni joke and they're on the floor.
Wow.
It's the Paul Muni month on TCM, by the way, folks, if anyone's interested. Yes.
People just got even more excited listening to this.
Hey, you know what I'm excited about? Broadway news. West End news. Did you see they're going to do Sister Act and Whoopi Goldberg?
I just read that.
Whoopi Goldberg is coming back as Dolores, and Jennifer Saunders is going to be in it from Ab Fab and French and Saunders. So I'm very happy.
I love Ab Fab, and I love Whoopi Goldberg, and I love Jennifer Saunders. So I'm very excited. I wish that this could be on our soil as well. I think that would be fun to have a little sister act again.
It would be nice. Maybe it will come to our soil. We don't know.
You never know.
It's Whoopi. I love her. Also in casting news, they announced the cast of Company.
Indeed, they did. What a cast.
An amazing, talented group of people, but getting a little bit of backlash because it's not a very diverse group of individuals.
No, it's this production
of Company.
Yeah. So it's an interesting choice.
Yeah, and first of all, I thought it was going to have a little bit more diversity in it, and I'm a little disappointed. I'm not going to say a little disappointed. I'm just disappointed. It doesn't. Because I was like, the Music Man didn't have their principals got announced, and that's not really a diverse cast. So I was like, well, good, Company will come in and save the day. And Company, you didn't come in and save the day. Where were you? Where were you, Company?
Come on.
Phone rings, door chimes, in comes not diversity.
A very white company.
So we'll see. It's all a really talented group of individuals, but I don't know. I was hoping they would do better. That's okay.
Yeah.
We move on. What else can we do?
Yes.
I'm still pissed I'm not in it. So, did you see Patti LuPone's fantastic article about people needing to appreciate the history of musical theater?
In the New York Times, she gave
an interview and she was saying, I don't understand why kids today, if you don't know who Shirley MacLaine is or Marlon Brando or Cheetah Rivera, why are you doing this? I was hoping she would say, and then got a band the Garden Boys Blue Names podcast. Take a listen to the history. Oh, come on, Patty, help us out.
It's all right there.
Yeah. Talking about it.
A lot of the things that, people, students of musical theater and young people in the business love, a lot of those writers are very well versed in the history of musical theater. And the reason why young people like that stuff is because they know exactly whose shoulders they're standing on. So and that's obviously the reason why we started this podcast to begin with, was because we really wanted to educate and share this history
with people. I agree with you. Okay, so I saw the Lightning.
Yes, I'm so sorry I was not able to go. Under the weather.
Kevin fell ill and was not able to join us for this fabulous production.
It was a little bedridden for a couple days. Oh, man, it was not fun.
That's okay. Yeah. So the Lightning Thief, I'm very behind. It's based on a bunch of TYA books. Percy Jackson is the character in it, and it's about the Greek gods that are in more contemporary form. They're young teenagers going to an academy together.
And he's like half. They call him half blood, but
they're
like
half bloods. Yes.
Half, God. One parent is a god; the other is mortal. Is that the idea?
Yes, yeah. His mom is mortal, and his god, his father was Poseidon, much like my father. So it was nice to know that they were related.
Hi, Dad.
Then I realized my dad wasn't Poseidon. I just retained water for no reason. But I like to pretend that I'm a Greek god, and that's sort of how I get through my day. So anyway, thank you. Put that in there, folks. The score is lovely. I have a problem pronouncing the gentleman's name. What's his name? Rob Rakiki.
Yeah, I've been listening to the score a couple times now, and I've played the songs for people for auditions. Or, auditions for coachings and stuff. I love his stuff. I think as far as pop rock musical theater style, I think he is at the front of the line as far as today's writers. I think he is really, really, really strong.
I didn't realize what an impact this book had, because the performance I saw was mostly young kids, like high school kids, that were there, I think, in big groups as if it was a school trip.
That's fantastic.
And they loved it. And every time there was a line that apparently was popular in the book, they knew it ahead excuse me. Mm-hmm. They knew it ahead of time. They whooped. They wallowed. Why are you laughing at me? Because I'm done.
We're like a mess. I'm coughing over here. You're coughing over there.
If I start coughing up blood, give me an Oscar nomination like Nicole Kidman in Moulin Rouge. It's her whole performance. I've coughed up blood. Give her the Oscar.
There'll be a take every 2 seconds, though, just to make sure, you know, because that home.
Yes. Sorry, folks. I'm sorry. So anyway, The Lightning Thief, I'll be honest with you, folks. Go support New Musical Theater, because when I went in, the house was not as full as I think it should be. So go take a, you know, a risk and go see it. I know people are like, oh, it's, you know, TYA. It's fun. I had a really good time. And you don't need to know the books per se to enjoy the show. I wish I had read it just so I could appreciate what everybody else was appreciating around me. But it's a really, really fabulous experience. And there's a CD. CD, I sound so old. I got a vinyl with the original off-Broadway cast, which includes our good friend George Salazar from Be More Chill. So this was great. And they left the show open for other versions of it. So I think they'll probably try to take more versions of the books and put them on stage, which I kind of liked. I liked, like, ooh, we're ending on a cliffhanger. Like,
oh, really?
I'm like, ooh, we're leaving it open for a second show. I've never seen that. This is lovely. Yeah.
And I think what's interesting is, I think we're going to see this a lot in the future, that this is not an open-ended. I think they're there for 8 weeks or however long, 12 weeks or something like that. And it's part of a leg of its national tour. And I have a feeling for shows that are, you know, have a hard time having a long run, but still want that Broadway credit, we're going to see more tours that are going to come in and swoop into Broadway, plant themselves at a little theater for a little bit, you know, and then go back out on the road again, which is, I think, what this is doing.
Yeah, this is new and very exciting. So, yeah, you know, direct from Broadway, no matter how long it was out there. So. Go support it. You know, you should see every show that comes out, period.
And it might be coming to a city near you. So go, and it might go be coming to a city that you may be from.
And it'll definitely be coming to a high school near you. That's for sure. Because it's geared,
no,
geared
you're
for
right.
that
you're
audience. Right. Yeah. So anyway, that's that. I think that's all we got. But so we also have some favorite things. Who wants to go first? Should we flip a coin like they do in Mary Stewart? The beginning. Remember that in Mary Stewart where they came out and they flipped a coin to see who was going to play the role that night?
I love that.
I
saw Mary Stewart, but I don't remember that happening. But
maybe I'm thinking True West.
I trust you.
True West? Folks, help me out. What production was it where the actors were playing both roles and they would come out every night, they would flip a coin, and then it would be decided who was playing the role that night?
Huh. Why am Pretty I fun. Like,
tweet us now, because the dead silence isn't helping me. I'm sorry.
Sorry, somebody, I'm not helping at all.
I thought somebody was going to pop up and be like, it's blah, blah, blah.
All right, Rob, why don't you go for it?
Okay, so I had one prepared last week, and then you were so kind to promote. God. Guys, this is our last episode. I don't think you're going to have this next week.
The mic down. You can hear me. Could you hear me? You could hear me.
Next week, we're going to have understudies playing us. Brad Oscar.
Very healthy understudies.
Brad Oscar will play me, and who do you want to play you? Hunter Ryan Hurdlicka? In a twist of fate? Do you want Jay That's Armstrong funny. To come in to help you out a little bit?
And he's funny. My God, he is good.
Jay Armstrong Scotland Johnson PA. Is so funny in Scotland, PA.
Oh, my
Great.
God.
Jay will play you. I'll have Brad Oscar play me, and we can take the day off.
Great. I love that. No, you're right. Last week we featured J2 Spotlight, and I was so happy, Rob, to see so much love, so much support. No, this is great. This is really, really exciting that we were able to celebrate that, and we're going to check in with you, you know, every week or so, just to see how things are going, and you know.
Amazing. So, yeah. Please, we'd love to hear from people, so I appreciate that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that With brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So I had one because Forbidden Broadway has a new version out, right? And we interviewed the wonderful Gerard Allison Drini a couple of months ago now, I'm sorry, at this point. Who talked about, you know, how Forbidden Broadway came to be. And so I started to do some research and I was wondering, well, you know, were there any other types of reviews before Forbidden Broadway that were doing a similar thing? And I came across a show that had a really long run, 831 performances. That's 2 years off Broadway at the Village Gate Theater. And this was a show called Scrambled Feet. The show is called Scrambled Feet, and it was a precursor to Forbidden Broadway. Are you familiar with the show, Kev?
I have the LP, yeah.
You have the LP? Okay, I would love borrow it. So, folks, Scrambled Feet was a sketch comedy show, a review, by John Driver and Jeffrey Haddow, and it was directed by John Driver. And like I said, it opened at the Village Gate in 1979. It was there for 2 years. The original cast had the two writers in it, plus a guy named Roger Neal and a woman named Evelyn Barron. And then Jim Walton, who has been on our podcast, was a replacement. So was Jonathan Hadari, the great Faith Prince, who we're still trying to get for this show. Come on. And a duck named Hermione. And when Hermione had to have a name change, they changed it from Hermione to Gingold. Now, so there were the show Scrambled Feet was mostly dealing with theater sketches. It wasn't as sharp, I'll say, is Forbidden Broadway, because Forbidden Broadway can have a little bit of a sting to it. This was about like a dinner theater in the Renaissance era. And one sketch was about like the Elephant Man and the guy from Whose Life Is It Anyway wrestling with each other. It was like the horrors of trying to like leave New Jersey to get into the city to see a Broadway show. And each segment of that journey was like done to a different melody of a Broadway musical. Not the Charles Strauss and Lee Adams Broadway musical, but like Broadway musical as a genre. Nice. So here's the thing, though, folks. I was like, I'm so curious about this show, but I could not find the LP online. I could not find the cast recording on Apple Music. But lo and behold, in 1982, Showtime filmed it. Because if you remember back then, Showtime was trying to and HBO was trying to film a bunch of Broadway shows. So Scrambled Feet is on YouTube.
Oh my goodness.
A filmed version is available on YouTube. Now here's the thing. The lady that was in it originally, they got rid of, and they replaced her for the movie with Madeline Kahn. So Madeline Kahn pops up in this thing. So what? I was like, oh, this is great. I'm going to watch it. So folks, you can YouTube Scrambled Feet, the musical, and it's on YouTube. Now here's the downside. Just have to warn you. It's broken up into parts. I think that's how the person posted it, was broken into parts. And not the parts don't like go chronologically. So when you're done with one, you don't start watching two. You have to like stop one, find two, go to two, stop two, go to three. So I was like, well, I'm going to watch this because I'm curious. I'm so confused. I can't, folks, if you saw Scrambled Feet, let me know. I was like, I don't know if this is funny. Like, I can't, I'm sorry. I was like, I was like, this must have been funny like in 1980. Is it funny now? 82, 81?
Yeah.
Madeline Kahn, of course, is always hysterical. So I was like, why did this thing last so long? So I went back and I looked at the reviews. The New York Times gave it a mixed review. But then Walter Kerr was like, this is bright, sassy, and wonderfully good-natured. And John Simon, who absolutely hated every single thing except the prom. Remember, he loved the prom when we talked to him. The one thing we found out he enjoyed. I said, it was always good, pointed fun, overflowing with laughter, and now and then high praise, indeed, genuine satire. So the critics loved this show, which accounts for why it ran for 2 years. But folks, I'm wondering, if you saw the show, how funny was it? There's elements that I find very, very funny. Madeline Kahn always makes me laugh. And Renaissance dinner theater, I think is absolutely a great idea. I mean, in an ideal world, there's dinner theater everywhere we go, but that's just a dream of mine. And the duck is wonderful. The duck is absolutely wonderful. So anyway,
he went on to the ferryman, and he's had a very long career.
He started with Pippin, and then went on to this. He started off his career in Pippin, went to Scrambled Feet, and then recently returned to the stage after a few years of selling real estate. He did the summer stock circuit for a while. He was very good. I saw him. Actually, he was quite good. I saw him in the Muni's production of Over Here, the World War I review, which was really, really, really fabulous. He was great. He was the third Andrew sister because Maxine didn't want to do it anymore.
He was just croaking his way through it.
He was great. If it wasn't for the webbed feet, I think he would have had a larger dancing career because it was between it was between him and Robert Lindsay for Me and My Girl. And Robert was just a stronger dancer. But I saw him do it at the Oslo, and he was very good. He was very good. You didn't really miss all the dancing. So I also saw him in Jekyll and Hyde. The review was not kind when they were like, quack doctor. Because I was like, that's not a fun double entendre. So he got out of the business. He sold real estate for a little bit up in Trenton.
And now
he wants to get back. And I thought he was fabulous in Ferryman. It was nice to have him back on stage. So
it's too bad he didn't have any lines, but that's okay. He's still seen.
It's more the visibility, I think, is more important in this career than it is. You know, and I think that was good for him. So he was fabulous in the Ferryman. I think people were very excited. I was sitting next to a couple. I was like, I saw him in Me and My Girl at the Oslo. I was like, I was there too. I saw it was fantastic. It was him and Marianne Plunkett came down. And the Grand Duchess was played by Ruth Warwick. So we're going to give you a
full circle.
So anyway, folks, go take a look at Scrambled Feet. It's all on YouTube. I would love, love, love to hear thoughts and opinions on it. If you saw it live, if you actually saw it live.
Yeah. Let us know what that was like.
So that's it. So mine was Scrambled Feet. What's yours?
That's a really good one, Rob. I must say that was that's a song. The LP now, and I just can't believe you even thought to look for it on YouTube, and I can't believe that it's actually there. Well done. My favorite thing this week is a collection of books that sadly are no longer being produced, but for 10 beautiful years, these books were put out to the public. I think that because they cost so much money to make and not enough money that were being made by them, they were canceled, of course. But this book that I'm talking about is the series that Playbill put out called the Broadway Yearbook, or the Playbill Yearbook. I'm going to hold up mine for you to see right now.
This is
the third annual edition. There started in 2004 and ran all the way till 2014. So there are 10 years of this glorious book. It is kind of like a coffee table book, or it could be sort of like an encyclopedia is really what it is, because they went through exhaustive pains to pretty much catalog every single human being who is involved in each – not even talking about – transfers or every show that was opening that year, every show that was running that year, every show that was closing that year. They are all included in the book, and each show has its own little section and as if that's each class. And so I'm just going to open up this to – here's the Apple Tree, and there's Butley, and there's a Chorus Line, there's the Color Purple, Jazzy Chaperone, Hot Feet, even the short term, the short runs, the long runs, everything. They not only have the casts and they have pictures of everybody, of course. But what I love about it is they include everybody backstage. They include the ushers. There's a photo of all the ushers of each theater. There's the person who works in the box office. There's the people who are the head of the house. They have a little scrapbook part where they had asked an individual from each cast to sort of, they gave them a bunch of questions to ask. So for the correspondent was Carrie Anderson, who played Sophie. She went around talking about backstage rituals, favorite moments during the performance, memorable ad libs, fastest costume change, little things like that. I think that they are so much fun to page through. In the back of them, what I really love as well is they also talk about all of the events that happened that year. Everything from the Gypsy of the Year, the Tony Awards luncheons, the Broadway Bears. Yes. Easter Bonnet. It's just chock full of information and people and numbers. And I can't think of a single place, not even Internet Broadway Database, where you will get all of this information in one location. But not only that, but you get all of the pictures, and it's just superbly laid out. And I talked to a couple people that are involved with it over at Playbill. And of course, it just didn't make enough money, and I get it, because the work that was put into this is just astounding, and the fact that they did it every single year for 10 years is, I'm really thankful for that. If you're interested in looking for these friends, you can. I looked on eBay, and they're $8, $7, $4, and we're talking a 500 page. You know, it looks like it's the size of like a college textbook.
It's really fabulous. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just a huge fan of them. And I like to just pick them up and kind of look through it. And it reminds me of years past, especially those of you who had gone to see a lot of shows in those years. It instantly takes you right back to the show. It reminds you who was in it, what was going on. I'm a huge fan of them. So I just wanted to give a nice shout out to the team that made this, Playbill Broadway yearbook for those 10 years, because they really are something special. And I'm very, very thankful that for those 10 years that we have this beautiful reference book in our midst, that we can really celebrate the art and not only the actors on stage, but like I said, everybody backstage and everybody at the front of the house and the orchestra in the band. I mean, they have even I love this. They have like the box office, the doorman, the company management, the fly guy, the props guy, you know, so it's just it's a great celebration of theater and what we do. And it's a nice reminder that it really does take a huge village to put on a big, big production like that we see on stage.
It takes a village.
It takes a village.
So that's great. So go ahead, take a look at the Playbill yearbook, and then go watch Scrambled Feet. And I forgot to, at the beginning of the episode, I forgot we had to honor somebody who passed, Paula Glogau. You might not know the name, folks, but you know her because we know her from
the clip,
the Grand Hotel commercial.
Oh, she loved it. The dancer. Oh, she was so good.
Charisse was fabulous. I loved it. The singing, the dancing. So you didn't like it. I loved it. I'm going to see it two more times. When?
She got mad a little bit.
As soon as I can, my husband works in the area. It's Paula. It's my husband works in the area.
I just love the specificity.
It would have been a meme. Like had there been memes in the 1980s, yeah. Right? That would have just been a big meme. My husband works in the area. Paula, we found out, passed away actually in August, and so we're just finding out about it. But thank you so much, Paula, for loving theater so much and for giving us all such a great laugh. We loved you. The comedy, the timing.
Well, and I think we relate to her a little bit because there's a little Paula in all of us, you know, that joy, that excitement, that sheer happiness coming out of a show.
Yes.
I think we could all relate to that. I mean, we're laughing at her.
You love it so much that like, you can't find like any humor in it. Like it was such a good show. Like, no, that's not. So you didn't like, I loved it. Like, how dare you?
Yes. Why would you even ask me? I mean, of course.
How dare you?
It's great.
My husband works in the area. Best line I've ever heard in my life. So anyway, so that's our episode this week. Hopefully we'll be better by next week. I'm so sorry.
Honestly, we will.
I'm sorry we're dying on you, but we love you all. All right, till next time.
All right, have a great week, everyone.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.